Blog Talk Radio.
Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tusila. Hi, Tusila. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking. What about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing great and very excited about our guest tonight. We'll tell the people about our guest tonight. But first, I would like for all of you to pick up your phones and grab your computers. Go to your inbox or text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our dial-in number is 646-668-8537. I'll repeat that, 646-668-8537, or just click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tusila or the link wherever you see our post for this show if you choose to listen from your computer. You'll see the post on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. okay, and maybe alignable. So just look out for it. And also, where you will listen to Kristen talk, you can listen to us on Thursday nights, every Thursday at 6 p.m. on KBRG, The Bridge Gospel Radio. It's on iHeartRadio.com, or just go to RadioKBRGTheBridge.com and click on Christian Talk every Thursday at 6 p.m. That's RadioKBRGTheBridge.com, okay? All righty. You can listen from your computer. Okay, Pastor Tasila, I hope you are as excited as I am about our guest.
I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
We're
going to call him in just a few. Yeah, you know what this is. You know what this means. All of our faithful listeners know what time it is right now. It is TNT time. Praise the Lord. Okay, Pastor Tasila, what do we have for today?
Oh, we have something that's still, we're going to be along the lines of the resurrection, and people have questions now. You know, a longtime dear friend of mine who asked the question this week. And it's a valid question because I felt like if they asked, then other people probably would want to know also. But the question was that if Jesus was God on the cross and was dead, then who raised Jesus? And it's an extremely valid question.
That's a good question.
Which I believe that so many of our listeners might want the answer to also. I believe that the Father was with Jesus, and when Jesus cried in the garden, if this cup could be taken away from me, nevertheless, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done, that the dread, I believe, that Jesus was about to experience was the Father being separated from him.
Yes.
And it's the dread the whole earth. The whole earth should be concerned with that. With that dream.
Yeah.
I never want to be separated from the Lord in this realm or the next or any other one. You know, we should all have a concern about that, about the removal of the Holy Spirit of God being taken from us. And I just feel like everybody knows that it's very terrible to live without Him. And a lot of people probably don't know that, but it is. Even the fact that he says on the just and the unjust, God is here for everyone. Even though people don't serve God, they're still in his mercy and grace in his presence. Because God is omnipresent, and you're not separated. Even when the sun comes up every day, she'll remind you that you're still in his presence.
Amen. In his grace,
so
right.
In his presence, in his grace, in his mercy. So I think that more than the suffering that Jesus was crying out to the Father in the garden about was more about the separation that he was going to feel, because that had to happen. He was more concerned about that because he cried out on the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Means to turn away or to withdraw from. So they were the triune Godhead, and he was going to be withdrawn from in this moment. And it was necessary for the fullness of God's love for humanity to be realized, tells us how much God values us. At this moment, he, God, separated the triune Godhead just for you and me. And that is so precious. And you guys, if you, a lot of people give their lives to the Lord and they serve God better. Sometimes people don't realize how precious and sensitive God is about that, about what he did and how he supplied us with something that can get us into the kingdom. And a little bit in Psalms 22, David talks about that. He speaks that David is talking about how his enemies are mocking him, specifically because he trusts in the Lord and that the Lord would rescue him. And Matthew 27 and 35 and Mark both says that the people mocking Jesus claim that if God loved him so much, then God should save him in that moment. But that was the moment that the Father's love was created the perfect sacrifice for us. And Jesus was calling out his dependence upon God and his gratitude for the benevolence of God. He recognized that desperation of humanity that suddenly hung upon his shoulders. And even in that agonizing moment, his voice called out to show that only God can deliver us at that time. And deliver him, certainly he did, in and with the resurrection. And with that resurrection power. And 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, to wit, meaning keen intelligence, beyond human intelligence. God must quicken our finite minds to give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding so we'll understand what he was doing at this time. And the scripture says, to wit, that God was in Christ the whole time, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. God was doing a great work by taking a piece of himself and offering it up for us all. Jesus knew of the destruction that was coming and even the resurrection to follow. He knew all of that, and that's why in John 2:21 he said, destroy this temple, and on the third day I'll raise it back up. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. And that's relying, and Jesus was relying on the Father and the Holy Spirit to get him back into the Godhead fully, because it was more to it than what happened on earth. He actually went down into the depths of hell. And while he was suffering and down in the depths of hell and delivering people, God still was relying on the Godhead to bring him back. That's real trust. And that's who brought him back. And God is so great and powerful. He is able to separate himself, give a piece of himself, and then go back into a hole. And that is just really deep. I remember someone asked Jesus, where is the Holy Spirit? He said, it's on the earth. So the Holy Spirit is on the earth doing a work, and God the Father is in the heavens, and Jesus is everywhere. They're all in one, but they're in separate offices, and they're able to separate and come back together. And thank God for him. When I think about the Lord and how good he is, we are all so blessed to have a merciful, patient, loving God that loves all of us and that made a perfect sacrifice so that we all can enter into the kingdom. Right, Brother T?
Amen. That is so right, Pastor Tasila. And it's good that you brought up the humanity of God. Because when God became a man, he was really a man. He walked by faith, just like he expect us to walk by faith. As a man, he had to depend on the Father. So God released himself of all of his glorious power and greatness. He even, he walked so much by faith that someone asked a question, and Jesus told them that he didn't know. Only the Father knows. Of his
that
return.
Showed the separation right in there also.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It showed that Yeah, it showed that when God became a man, he walked in that office as a man, just like us having to walk by faith. It was still God, but yet he gave us an example, and he had to walk by faith to show us how to walk by faith. And in walking by faith, we will have great favor in the sight of God. You know, I like the question. If Jesus is God, then who raised him from the dead when he died? Well, it's really hard for people to understand the mystery between God and Christ. And
it says in the scriptures, great is the mystery of godliness, of the Godhead.
That's the scripture I was just getting ready to read by Paul.
Uh-oh.
Paul said that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Mm-hmm. He said, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest, brought to light, made obvious, clearly seen in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, the other nations, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, you notice that Paul said it was God. That all of that was God. He was telling what Jesus did, but he said it was God. You see, when Philip asked for Jesus to show them the Father, what did Jesus say? John 14, verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Once again, Jesus is letting him know that he is the actual body. He is the tangible, physical body of the Father. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So why did Jesus say that? Amen. Why did he say all of that to him? He was letting them know that he is God the Father. It was written of him 700 years previously by the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah said, and this is probably one of your favorite scriptures, Pastor Tassina. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And check this out. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So on one end, the scripture is showing Jesus as a child. A son, that a child is born, a son is given. And then it turns and see that he's called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. People tend to forget that the great God is one Lord. Behold, Israel, the Lord behold, Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Jesus said that himself. God is the Father, God is the Son, and God is the Holy Spirit. God became the Son so that he could die for our sins. He could only do that by being a man. He had to become a man so that he could die for our sins, because God himself, the great God, cannot die. But if he became a man, he can. So he became a man to die for our sins. God walked around on earth as a man. He walked around as Jesus Christ the Lord, the Son of God, the heir of God, the Son of Man. Earth was given to mankind to rule. But since Adam gave up his right to rule the earth and subdue it, God had to step in and represent mankind by taking the sin of Adam and put it upon himself, and die in order to fulfill God's punishment on mankind. Instead of it all going to mankind, God took it as a man, Jesus, and to fulfill his laws. Jesus fulfilled all the law for us, and he took on the sin, or the sin of Adam and the punishment for Adam. So now God as a man is able, now he's able as a man to inherit the earth, because the earth was given to man. So now God had to become a man, so now he can inherit the earth. So God was still God even while he walked the shores of Galilee as a man, as Jesus Christ. He was still God the Father. Therefore, when he died as a man, he stepped into his office as God the Father, and he raised himself up from the dead. Bottom line, when dealing with God's kingdom realm, you can't explain things. God's kingdom realm is unexplainable pretty much in the natural. It's really hard to explain so that we can really get the full understanding. We'll attempt to do a few things, but God will give us a little revelation here, a little revelation there. But the full understanding of his kingdom realm, we have to experience it. Amen. Like, for example, how can I be at church with a congregation and the Holy Spirit, who is God, by the way, can fall upon us and fill us up, and we all begin to worship and praise the Lord, and at that exact same time, in a whole nother country, he falls on a different congregation at the same time now, and they begin to praise and worship the Lord as well. It's like, well, how can that happen? How can the Lord Jesus Christ come and visit me at my home, and at the same exact time, he can come and visit you in your home in another state or another country? How can Jesus be everywhere at the same time? Right now, now that he's glorified, how can he be everywhere at the same time? How? Because he's God, and
Hallelujah.
God is everywhere. Hallelujah.
That's right.
How is it that Jesus was able to walk on water, heal the sick, and raise the dead without any failures and much more? He did far much more than that. How?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's God. He is God operating in different forms, different positions, and different offices. And Pastor Tasila, he had to work in these different offices for the redemption of mankind. God broke himself up in pieces, in other words. He is God the Father. He's God the Father, our source, our beginning, and more. He is God the Son, our deliverer, our king, and much more. He is God the Holy Spirit, our guide, our comforter, our teacher, and much more, all at the same time. But his work was in these offices and positions for a particular purpose. It was for to redeem mankind, to minister to mankind, and to die for their sins, for the sins of mankind. Did you know that if man had not sinned, if Adam had not disobeyed God, he would not have to work in those three different offices?
Mm-hmm.
We would have just known God as the great God in all of his glory, and we would look just like him.
Amen.
But because of the sin of man, he had to redeem us, and he had to redeem us as a man. So it was necessary for him to become the Father when he became the Son. And he's always the Holy Spirit. When God was the Son, his mission was to become the sacrificial Lamb of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, continually believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's position as the Holy Spirit was so that God would dwell with us and then in us. He wants to dwell in us. Keep in mind that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, our Creator. He is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it is written, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeshua HaMashiach is Yahweh. God is the only Spirit. God is the Holy Spirit because God's Spirit is holy. That means his Spirit is separate from all others. He is the one and only true and living God. So who raised Jesus from the dead? It was God himself while he was in his office or position as Father. Acts 2:24, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. It wasn't possible. Death couldn't hold God. Death couldn't hold Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh. Death couldn't hold him. God magnified his offices. All of his offices he magnified. When he worked in those offices, it was perfect work. He magnified his offices, his positions as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are to magnify our offices and our positions in Jesus Christ as his ministers. Whatever position, whatever office he's placed you in, magnify your office. Paul magnified his office. As he said in Romans 11, verse 13, for I speak to you, Gentiles, he's speaking to the other nations, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. That's what he said. There's much more to be said about the mystery of God and the revelation of Jesus Christ and the revelation of his Holy Spirit. It is not easy to understand the Trinity, the oneness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But if you are able to fully understand it, then you will discover the fullness of God's love that he has for us. Amen.
Thank the person who asked that question. That was such beautiful question. Yes, and I'm sure that many people want to know the answer to. I love talking about the Lord and his many facets that he operates from, and yet he's still one true living holy God.
He's still the great God, our Father in heaven. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Whoa. Well, that's it for our TNT moment. We'll be right back with our special guest. So do not repeat. Do not go away. Praise the Lord.
Came up against your home. The enemy came up against your children. The enemy came up against your name. The enemy came up against your character. You will win. You win. The enemy came up against your health. The enemy came up against your finance. The enemy came up against your vision. The enemy came up against
with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as TNT. And our special guest today is, drumroll, Pastor Andre Harvey. How are you, my brother?
Hello and great, beautiful evening.
Hello.
Good to hear your voice, man.
It is an honor. It is an honor and a privilege to be here. Thank you guys so very much, Pastor TNT. Explosive. You know, I heard it said, oh, that's the bomb. Well, let me tell you, a bomb is nothing unless it explodes. So TNT is fire.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? Let me take a few minutes to tell the, I want to tell the people about Pastor Harvey, okay?
Okay.
All right. Charles Andre Harvey was born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland, early one Christmas morning. Christmas morning. He loved to listen to the radio and discovered that he loved to sing. He had a love for singing. He learned his craft that led to singing, acting, dancing, becoming a songwriter, a comedian, and a playwriter. You wrote plays. That's good. Andre also does voice impressions. He has written television and movie scripts, all of which are self-taught. You were self-taught in all of this. After a tumultuous upbringing, he moved from Baltimore to California in pursuit of his career as a gifted entertainer. Once he arrived in Hollywood, he had a meeting at A&M Records with Charlie Minor. The only song he had recorded at the time was a song entitled My Friend. He wrote and co-produced with Nathaniel Wilkie Crockett. Nathaniel was the assistant music director for Patti LaBelle, so he worked with Nathaniel on that song. No deal was made, but that didn't stop Andre Harvey, that didn't stop him from making noise in Hollywood. He knew about the calling on his life as at an early age, but didn't understand the call to ministry at that time. Andre didn't grow up in a religious family, yet he knew Jesus. He knew of Jesus. As life went on, he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ in 1992 and accepted his call and started pastoring in 2006 at Radical Praise Christian Training Center. Everyone, let us all welcome Pastor Andre Harvey. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hey. You hear the crowd?
Yay, yay.
Wow. Bless you. Oh, man. You know, it is. I can't thank you enough for having me here. Thank you.
Oh, well, it's our pleasure, man.
I'll
it's a question. Blessing to us.
Yes.
How did it all start for you? You know, let's take us from the beginning. How did everything start for you?
Yeah, go back to Baltimore.
You know, Baltimore.
Yeah,
man,
go all the way back to Baltimore.
Baltimore is my home still. I still claim it. Born there, you know, on that early Christmas morning, my mother would remind me at 8:50 in the morning, I come popping up, and I'm the only child. And she said, once you came out, nothing else is coming out of here. That's it.
So that was all.
I ended up being the only child. And it wasn't easy, I would say. I guess I get kind of envious because I hear different people that I've met throughout the world and things of that nature. And coming from Baltimore, my family was not a church-going family. My grandmother wasn't a church-goer. My grandmother would go to the cabarets and the discos and dancing. My grandmother was a dancer. She wasn't at nobody's church, and my mother and wasn't at nobody's church. I was actually scared of the church because I didn't know anything about it. But one day I was home alone on Saratoga Street in Baltimore, Maryland, and I had locked myself in my mother's room because at the time my mother was strung out on drugs, and so I was home alone, and I locked myself in her room. And at that time, you know, TV would go off at a certain time. You know, what's
right
like today where TV would be on all night long. And so the radio was on. But this being, I can't say a person because I didn't know exactly whom it was, came into the room. And he said his name was Jesus. But again, at this time, I'm all of like maybe 6 or 7 years old, and I didn't know who Jesus was at the time. But he told me that everything is going to be all right. I didn't understand none of that, okay, because I didn't have the, Solomon wrote, that in all you're getting, get understanding. It wasn't until years later I began to get that understanding. When I said tumultuous time, I didn't really have a relationship with my father. And my mother had drugs, and my father was on drugs, my aunts and uncles and everybody was on drugs, but me, I couldn't do it. It wasn't my thing. And so... It was an interesting experience, and I felt a call. I didn't understand that call even then, but he told I. All I remember is I wasn't afraid. I wasn't afraid, you know. I just felt in my heart of hearts, at 6 or 7 years old, that everything was okay.
And so, Andre, I have to ask you: at 6 years old, you were actually in the house alone with any other adults there?
I was in the house alone, locked myself in my mother's room because I had a bad experience with a family friend who had molested me, and I was definitely scared. And so I had locked myself in my mother's room, yes.
Oh.
It was a lived in row homes, so it was a three-story house. And so I was not, I didn't have a bathroom in the room. So it was like one bathroom. And so in order to go, I had to go down this long, dark hall and stuff to go to the bathroom. But, yes, at that time, it was a different day and age than we see today. And, being an only child and going through some of the things that I've seen, the drug scene, seeing my mother shoot in her arm heroin, and the few times I did see my father smoking dope and stuff like that and being offered it and not falling into that life. I had something else in me that wanted different. I mean, everybody in my area just about was doing drugs, except for my great grandmother. She cooked for everybody, and that's how I learned how to cook. But everything else, and then all I had was the radio, and I would listen to songs and songs and songs, and I would sing, and I taught my mother actually was a singer as well. My mother could sing her face off. Oh my gosh, she could sing so awesome, and it was an interesting time being molested, and then I got raped by another family's quote-unquote friend, and I felt who was – no one protected me. No one protected me. But still, I fought through it all. Being an only child, so when people say, you know, it's rough, well, it is rough. But when you have that spirit, you see, because God said, and it's written, that when he formed this thing called man, he said, let us create man in our own image. and in the image of God, he created him. And so when he created him, he said, okay, so let's, he breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and he became a living being. And that's that spirit of God that's in us, because we don't look like God, like physically, but that spirit man looks just like God.
Mm-hmm.
Because the body can't live without the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, growing up in those streets of Baltimore, I had to walk to school, literally, had to get up and walk to school because no one made me get up. If I didn't want to go to school, I didn't have to.
Wow.
I had to walk to school, elementary school, and I wanted to be educated. And I did that. And as time went on, my mother and I had major odds, and I ended up going to live with my aunt and uncle, my great aunt and uncle. And I was 13 at that time, so I was kind of set in my ways. And I ended up graduating high school. I wrote my first song, which you mentioned. My friend didn't know anything about writing songs. And so I got a songbook, and I looked at it and said, this is simple. I can do this. And I didn't know how to really do it, but I just started writing a song, and everything started rhyming. And I thought it was like the corniest song I had ever heard in my life. But when people would hear it, they would love it. They loved that stupid song. You know what I mean? And so I ended up meeting and told people about this. I said, I'm going to meet Patti LaBelle one day because I thought she was phenomenal as a vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up meeting her and singing with her. And that's how I met Crockett. And Crockett was like, yeah, man. You know, I gave them a ride to their hotel. I'm fast-forwarding through a lot of stuff. I met them in Washington, D.C., and ended up working with Patti for a little bit, and went up to Philadelphia. And that's when I recorded at the same studio that Patti did one of her albums. And Crockett did the music for me because I'm not a musician, but I don't know how to write a song without a melody. So when I sang the song, it had the melody, and he began to play it, and I sang it, and the rest is history with that. And
so now for the now your your song For the First Time, was that
for
written by
time.
You and yeah the, now that was written by you. Now did Crockett have anything to do with that, or were you working with somebody else?
No, Crockett didn't have anything to do with that one. Once I started writing songs, it became like that. I can write pretty much songs even to this day that comes easy to me. So when I wrote For the First Time, it was all my songs are pretty much about true life stories, something I went through, or and I wrote that for a wedding. And so a buddy of mine named Steve Ross helped me with the music. And I told him basically how to play what I needed done for that particular song. And he played it for me, and I'm grateful that he did, and did a video for it and everything. It's such a beautiful song for the first time.
Let's listen to it. Here's Andre Harvey For the First Time.
Oh, yes.
You know, I've been searching all my life. Now I'm blessed. Don't feel alone. You are the one for me. You made my life complete. and this is real, and this is how I feel. I wanna tell the world, I found the perfect girl, says. Like your first born for the first time. Second verse. For the first time in my life, I can express all I feel inside. My love I just can't hide. What else can I say? It is the way I feel today. I love you more today and half as much as tomorrow. Help me say. Sing a little bit. For the first time in my life, I don't feel alone. You are the one for me. You made my life complete. And this is real, and this is how I feel. I wanna tell the world, I found the perfect girl there. Your first home for the first time. For the first time in my life, I can express all I feel inside. My love I just can't hide, no way. What else can I say? It is the way I feel today. I love you more today and half as much as tomorrow. Oh, for the first time, ain't nothing quite like your first. That I am so very willing. I am willing to take a chance. Because I've found that through this life that we live, that nothing ventures, nothing gained. Help me say.
Pastor Andre Harvey, for the first time. All right. Yeah. You got that Barry White, a little bit of Barry White. I kind of heard that Barry White feel a little bit in there with some of the talking and stuff, you know.
Barry, he was actually a friend of mine. He was such an awesome man that I met once I got to Hollywood and stuff like that. So, yes, that was my inner Barry.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Okay, so let's go back again. Now, let's take you back to Baltimore, okay? Because I'm trying to get to when, you know, you really start getting serious about the Lord. So you back in Baltimore, did you do any recording while you were there in Baltimore?
I did in Philadelphia. I didn't do any recording in Baltimore. I ended up going to, I started going to church. There's New Shallow Baptist Church under, I think his name was Harold Carter, big church in Baltimore at the time. And that's when I started. But interestingly enough, one of my high school biology teacher, he caught me coming out one day, and I did not want to talk to this man for nothing in this world. And he stopped me one day and wanted to share with me about Jesus. And I was definitely, because I had no clue. So I did not understand anything about religion or Christianity or anything. So when you were introduced, I would shy away from it. And so he wanted to pray with me in high school. And I did, but again, I did not understand what I was doing. It was not explained to me, but again, I was compelled in my heart to say yes. And I went, he took me through the Lord's Prayer, not the Lord's Prayer, the sinner's prayer, I mean. And, but I had no clue about it. God was setting me up. I call it setting me up throughout the years. And when I went to New Shiloh Baptist Church, I ended up on the choir but again, I still did not understand a relationship with the Lord. I did not understand it. It was never really fully explained to me how to have a relationship with the Lord. You know, going to church is one thing, but having a relationship is something completely different.
Amen.
And again, it was never fully explained to me until years later.
Okay, years can you later. Explain to the audience what that consists of, Pastor?
Yes. Years later in 1992, I even wrote a song about it, This Is How We Do It. I rewrote that song, and I put it as a story about 1992. I had met this lady, and she had her husband had a church. And so when I went to their church, it was a teaching ministry. And so then I started to get some understanding, but yet a lot of questions that I had, they seemed like no one could answer other than the Lord actually answered all the questions that I've had to date. And so when I went there, I accepted the calling, but again, I didn't understand my calling. And no one could definitively explain my calling until I got off the treadmill. I call it the treadmill of life, running away from the Lord and running away from my calling. I don't know if you guys experienced that, but I did not want to accept the call. I did not, because again, I did not understand it. And so the first time when I got to minister, they tried to teach me the 4 points or the 3-point sermons and this, that, and the other, but my heart couldn't do it. I couldn't. I understood what they were saying, but it did not sit in my heart right. I could not really do it. And so the first time I got up there to minister, I had written down some stuff, and I'm trying to do it in the formula that they had and all of that. But the Lord said, this is not your thing, it's mine. And so I'm like, okay. So now I'm like, okay. So I could not read nothing on the paper that I wrote because I couldn't speak. I could not speak. The Lord began to do what he was doing. And then, so this was a church that spoke in tongues and this, that, and the other. And I was definitely afraid of that because, again, I didn't understand it. And so right. I was like, these people right. are trying to mess with me because I've been a joker all my life, and they're trying to mess with me about the speaking in tongues and all this. And so the Lord had gave me that gift of speaking in tongues. And then I got mad with the Lord about that. And I got to tell you, I argued with the Lord like nobody's business because that's our relationship. He gave me the gift of speaking in tongues, and I firmly accepted it after, you know, some time. And I was speaking in tongues, and then he gave me the translation. And that scared mm-hmm. me because I'm like, nope, I'm not going to do it. I would not speak what he told me to speak. And I'm transparent with this, okay? And yeah. then while I was doing that, and I'm arguing with the Lord in front of people, but nobody know what's going on because that's how the Spirit works. And so I wouldn't do it. So he had somebody else to say the exact same words I heard him tell me.
Mm-mm.
The exact same words I heard him say after I was speaking in tongues, and he gave me the translation, and I was like, and somebody else on the other side of the room said the exact same words he gave me.
Mm. So you don't do it, like, and okay. I'll let somebody else do it.
But yeah. See, the beautiful thing about the Lord is that he searches the heart. He knows that I was afraid.
Yeah.
I was afraid because the reason I'm gonna be honest with you, the reason I was running away from the ministry or accepting the call is because I never wanted to mess up or do anything that would tarnish who God is. You know, I did not want to be a speaker and then, you know, on a down low or doing something behind closed doors. When I'm in front of the Lord's people and I'm doing his business, I'm about his business, come heck or high water, that's it, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't always Amen. That way. I was definitely afraid of messing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord, he checked me on that. Because he checked me on that because I went through some things at that church and some things that didn't work out so well. But I kept saying, look, what if I messed up? What if I do this and what if I do that? And he said, well, what if you do right? I said, that wasn't it. I ain't say none of that. I just, you know, and so the Lord has a way of dealing with me and has said some things to me that just still blows my mind to this day.
All of us. Yeah. That's why we have Christian talk, because we love to talk about what he said and what he's doing. So love to discuss him. And I don't understand. Go ahead.
Why I argue with him so much. I argue with the Lord. We're talking about the creator of all creation. I would argue with him. When he would tell me to do something, I am arguing with him like that makes no sense. It makes no sense. So then I have a choice to make, either to do it or not to do it. But when I did it, it was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I even argued. Like, why, you know? And so many times.
Andre, can I tell you something right there? It reminded me of something that happened to Pastor T when once he was arguing a point with the Lord. And he said the Lord started laughing. And he said, what are you laughing at? He said, because you forgot who I was.
Oh, I'm glad he didn't say that to me. When I fell out.
But, you know, the way he said it, the way he said it was like a friend, and he taught me a lesson, but he did it with laughter, because when he said, you forgot who I am, and we both started laughing, because I was like, you're right, you know, and both of us just started laughing, you know. So
who am I to argue with you? I forgot who you were.
Right. you know,
I was so comfortable. I was so comfortable with him, you know.
Well, I've argued on so many different times. I mean, he even came into the house one day. It was like the brightest light I've ever seen in my life. And he said, come into the front room. I want to talk to you. I thought, not me. I'm not really scared of anything, but when the Lord speaks to you, he said, come into the front room. I want to talk to you. I was shaking. I was so deathly scared. He said, come into the front room. I want to talk to you. And I said, And I would not go. And that's one of my biggest regrets to this day, that I did not go into the front room to talk, to hear what he had to say. And I'm thinking, I'm thinking he's going to kill me. And I'm like, after, you know, hindsight is always, you know, perfect vision. And so I'm like, if he wanted to kill me, he didn't have to go in the front room. He's going to kill me right where I was, you know. But
he didn't have to ask you either.
Right. So I was like, it was one of those things where I really wish I had done, was obedient to go into the front room and hear what he had to say.
Oh, boy, it's so great when you get up when he tells you to and go to those places he asks you to go, because he reveals some things that you never thought about. It's a beautiful thing to answer. At times I hear people say, Lord, I'm sleepy. And you know what I'll say? I'll say, I'll sleep later. Just get up and go, you know. But
you know, I had this big fight. I had this argument with the Lord. My great grandfather passed away. I'm here in California at the time, and so I'm in the car, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, my great grandfather and I, we had the same birthday, and so he meant a lot to me." And so I made plans to go to leave California to go back to Baltimore for his funeral. So I already had in my mind in California what song I said, I'm going to sing a song at his funeral. I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And so now I already thought about the song in California in prayer. And I'm thinking about the song, and I get to Baltimore, and I get the old hymn book, because, you know, they had a hymn book at the place, and I got the song out. So, yes, they have a musician. They can play the song. So I'm sitting there at the place, and so I say a silent prayer. I was too afraid to pray out loud at one time in my life, and so I was saying this silent prayer to myself before I was going to go up there, and I said the prayer, and the Lord said to me, don't sing that song. I said, what? He said, don't sing that song. Didn't change the tone of his voice. That stayed always the same. And I said, listen, you knew when I was in California, I picked this song. And I'm arguing, I'm huffing and puffing. And he said again, don't sing that song. Three times he said that to me. And then now I'm mad. I'm straight mad. I'm a rebel. And so when they called my name to go up there, and so I'm thinking, like, what he told me, actually he told me the song to sing, and I said, that makes no sense. I'm not going to do it. I have my song ready. So when I got up there, I said these words. I had a song to sing, but the Lord told me not to sing the song. And I sang the song that he told me, and I kid you not, it seemed like it rained inside. And people were touched. My uncle, who couldn't hear out of one ear, opened up. It was such a phenomenal experience. But had I been disobedient, I wouldn't have had that experience.
Right.
Just so many different things that the Lord has done with me and still doing even to this day. Just some amazing, amazing things, all because I said yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To his will and his way.
Mm-hmm.
All because
okay,
I
so
said
Pastor,
yes, and I mean,
yes, because you said yes. So how did you end up being a pastor? What happened with that?
Well, I went through several different churches and different experiences, and I was tired. I was literally physically and mentally exhausted, and so the Lord told me to start the church, and I was like, okay, that's all I said was, okay, I was too tired. I was too tired of fighting and running and this, that, and the other, because all the experiences I've gone through and said and done, when the Lord tells me to do it, I do it. And so it was 2006. And actually, it was Easter Sunday, 2006, Radical Praise was born. And I went out and did what I left the church that I was attending at the time. I told the pastor what, you know, God had said, and we had some words, and I moved on, and God opened the doors, and I didn't ask him. I didn't want to do it, we ended up in Parrot Hill Park in San Bernardino, California, and that's where the birthplace of Radical Praise. And God did some amazing things through that ministry. I still argue with the Lord. I mean, because the first day I, you know, that went there, it was like nobody there, and I was like, there's nobody here. You know what I mean? So and I went outside because I'm angry, and he said, I called you to preach. So preach, and I did. And I preached to those seats like there was a million people in the house, and I kid you not, the following Sunday, it was standing room only.
Mm.
And he told me to ask a question, and the question was, are you saved? To the people, and a lot of people raised their hands, and he asked me to ask another question, and the other question is, what are you saved from? And 100% of the people dropped their hands, and he told me, you're going to teach them because they do not know, because I taught you when you didn't know. And I was like, ouch. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he that's where the training center came from, because whenever I'm there, it's never Andre's words. It's what the Lord say. That's it. That's all. I don't add nothing or take anything away. And so that's when it became a teaching ministry.
Mm.
So,
and that was 2006.
So go back to what?
The points of the relationship that you learned how to deal that
yeah.
personal, because a lot of times, you know, we get questions and people will say, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to have a relationship. So if you have any pointers for that.
Well, in the Greek, it's called gnosko, one of my favorite words. And that's to know him intimately. And in any relationship, and this is, and I was thinking I had to have these, you know, these powerful words to say and all that great stuff. Like, yes, I wanna speak like this person spoke or whatever. But it's just a conversation. It's having a conversation. It's like
Amen.
when you're courting your potential spouse or getting to know or even in school a friend. Okay, you have a conversation with them. You talk to them, and you get to know them. You share ideas. You share things with them, and that's what with the Lord. He is, you know, we sometimes don't see him physically, but he's there, and we can talk to him anytime, anywhere. We don't have to go to someone else to get to the Lord, because our intercessor mm-hmm. is Christ. So we can go to him at any time. I didn't understand that at one time. I thought I had to go and have a pastor or somebody pray for me. No, I can pray myself to him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to use no great old words. It's just simple words. That, Lord, I need you. Just talking to him like we're speaking now is having that conversation. And the more and more you get to know him, the more and more he fills you. And it's is such a powerful thing that we are looking for this big thing, but he's more than that. It's just a simple conversation. And the more you conversate with him or converse with him, the better your life is. Like in the song that I wrote, you know, this is how we do it. In that song, you know, it talks about that relationship. On my knees and pray, you know what I mean? Dear Lord above, the one who's given us much love. So I reach for my Bible and I open it up. I'm reading these scriptures that help me when I'm stuck. Mm-hmm. On my knees, I'm never faded. So when I get to heaven, I got to thank the Lord I made it.
Amen.
You see? So, again, it's not about a whole bunch of words. There are times when I don't really speak much at all. And then there are times where I'm just on and on and on. And then there are times I have to listen.
That's right.
It's about building that relationship. And it's so important. It's so important. Yeah. I mean, no matter what I've gone through, and I've been through a lot and going through things even now, but that relationship has sustained me, and it continues to sustain me even now.
Amen.
At one time, with all the stuff I went through with the being molested and raped, and that was a heavy burden, the relationship I had with my parents. You know, and I talk highly about my parents, even to this day, but the relationship that was hard, it was a horrible upbringing. But yet,
so were you able to express what happened to you to your parents or to anyone, your grandparents or anybody?
Fortunately, I was. In 2010, I wrote letters. I wrote letters to my father, and I wrote letters to my mother. And when they received them, my mother called me crying and said, Andre, I didn't know. And we talked about it. We were better. My father was upset. And but we talked about it, and we had the best relationship from 2010 to 2012 I had ever had with my parents, because they both passed away in 2012. But I'm grateful that I had spoke with them about all the pain that I had, and that was lifted off of me, because I was able to have a conversation with them.
And were you able to forgive them at that time?
Well, to be honest with you, I had to first forgive me, because I blamed me for all of it. I didn't blame them. I blamed myself.
Mm-hmm.
And once I learned to forgive me, I had forgiven them long, 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 long time ago. And we had such an amazing relationship after that. And I don't have any regrets about it. I have no regrets about my upbringing. I have no regrets about the things I endured, because the testament is, you know, I have endured it and still enduring.
Mm-hmm.
And that if what I went through can help a brother or a sister make it over what they're going through, then my job is done. I wrote a book that's being typed up, and that book is entitled Wounds Heal, Scars Remain. Because if you look at our Lord and Savior, when he was beat beyond recognition, his wounds actually was healed, but his scars remained, because when he came back to that broken up body and beat up body, and when he went up, they didn't even recognize him still, because that's how bad he was beat up. And so the title of the book is Wounds Heal, Scars Remain. And just because I'm scarred, just because I'm scarred, my wounds have healed.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been healed from all the pain that I had endured during those years.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times when Jesus appeared to people, those are some of the things that people should look for, the scars on his feet and on his hands, to make sure that that's Jesus.
Well, he told Thomas, look here. When he called him Doubting Thomas, he said, look here. Put your hand in my side.
Mm-hmm.
But the powerful thing about that scripture, the powerful thing to me about that whole encounter was he said, blessed are you, Thomas, because you've seen and believed. But more blessed are those who believe yet have not seen.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a powerful revelation. Because many we have not seen, yet we believe.
Yeah, that's faith.
That's powerful. That is such a powerful revelation. That's such a powerful revelation. But I'm forever grateful. Forever grateful.
Do you have?
I'm sorry.
I would like for you to pray for some of our listeners out here. If you have something a word to share with somebody that may have gone through some things that you've gone through, what words of encouragement can you give them? Because everybody's pain, some people have gone through some of the same things, but for the most part, everybody's pain is kind of different how it affects them. So if you could just pray for some of our listeners out there that can relate to your story.
Well, it is a true honor and a privilege to even be put in the position to pray for anyone. And to the listeners who are listening, I would say to you, yes, the pain that you are enduring, temporary, if you are a believer, the healing is more powerful and better than the pain, because I've heard it said that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And that is such a powerful lie, because we've been hurt by more words than we have been by sticks and stones. And so if words that people have said has hurt you, then trust and believe the words that can heal you are more powerful than the words that hurt you. Because if it's written that Jesus said, that John said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So if that Word can become flesh, don't let that pink tornado destroy you. Tornado can heal you, just like it can destroy you. I'm talking about the tongue. That pink tornado that speaks life and death. I'd rather you speak life over yourself and others, because I've spoke death over my own self during the times that I was hurting and didn't understand my own pain. But today I speak life over myself. I speak life over you. I speak life, because there's power in your words.
Hallelujah.
And then what backs up your words is that faith, and what backs up that faith is that belief. That belief. So today, my brothers, my sisters, believe in the power of the Word of God. Because and no matter what, that sword that cuts through bone and marrow is a powerful word. Get into it and let it get into you. I pray for your healing of your mind, your body and your spirit, because God is able. And even though we're on this line, on this radio, God is an omnipresent God. That's the beauty of him. His grace is from everlasting to everlasting. You can make it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's room in heaven if you want to go. God bless you all. And if no one has told you today that they love you, I love you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, Pastor Andre, we never got a chance to see what your life was with Patti LaBelle. What happened with that?
Oh, wow. You know, I was young. When I first met Patti, it was at the Warner Theater in Washington, D.C. She had a three-week engagement there, and I bought some tickets. And I had a dozen of roses I was going to give to her. And so I had a balcony seat. And so when I went downstairs to go give them to her, one of the ushers said, I'll give them to her. And I said, no, you're a lie. I spent $46 on these. You ain't giving her nothing. And so I went around the other way, and I walked down to the stage, and she took them from me. And she, next thing she said to me, she said, I need a man to come up here and sing with me. I jumped on the stage and I sang with her. And then the next day I went back and I saw her coming out of the theater. And she said, oh, child, I didn't give you an autograph. And I was like, oh, okay. She remembered my name. I was like, oh, my gosh, right? And so she got in her limousine and drove off. Well, I jumped in my car and followed the limo. And when she got to this hotel or something, I saw her getting out the limo and went into the hotel. Fortunately, it wasn't hers. So about an hour later, she came out and she said, "Sugar, I gotta talk to you." And I was like, "Okay, cool." And so we started talking, and I told her that I want to be a vocalist. And, you know, I love her work and this, that, and the other. And that's when she said, okay, well, let me hear, you know, let's get together and do some things. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. And so that's when Crockett and her bass player at the time had needed a ride to their hotel. And I gave them a ride and came back over there. She got me on stage again, and I went to a couple of other gigs with them. And she said, yes, she hit this note, and we was in Richmond, Virginia, and I hit that note and went over it, and she was like, oh my gosh, this child can sing. And ended up in Philadelphia and spoke with her husband Armstead at their boutique, and they was like, yes, well, we want to help you, but you know, at the time Patti was really, really busy. And so I'm like, if you're going to help me, help me, and if not, I'm moving on. And so I didn't wait because I was impatient, and I left Baltimore and came out to California, and I ended up seeing her again, and doggone it, I was going, she's like, come on, come on, come on, and Gladys Knight grabbed me by the hand and held on to me and Patti left me and stuff, and so, but we had always had a great relationship whenever we would see each other and stuff like that, so I just was not willing to wait at that time, because I just couldn't keep still. But we always had a great time. Always had a great time. Always.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good thing you didn't get caught up deeply in the system.
Well, you know, when Hollywood is a crazy place, I'm a reader, and so I was offered deals. But I'm like, wait a minute, no, I would not sign the deals, because the deals was taking my life, and I wasn't selling my soul for it. And so Barry White, I ended up meeting him, and I was sitting talking with Barry White for hours, and he would tell me a lot about the business and everything, and he spent time with me mentoring me and stuff like that, but I wouldn't sign his contract either because he wanted 90%. And I was like, I don't think so. I will not do it. I will not do it. I read too much, and I'm not going to do it so that you can, you know, have me out here working like a Hebrew slave, and you can. No, I just wouldn't do it. So, but I was fortunate to meet just about anyone that you can probably name in the industry, pretty much. And but that wasn't impressive to me. What was impressive to me is I love being on stage and performing. Loved it.
Most impressive. Meeting Jesus and having a personal relationship with him is the best thing that anybody could ever do. It's having
The best thing I've ever done.
And I heard you say something about the selling of the soul, too. And I know that that went past real fast, but we could stay on that for another hour because what it takes in those systems is for people, you know.
That we could really talk about, too. But, Pastor Tassila, since we have a little bit of time, just a small amount, do you have any last words you would like to share with anyone?
No, I just still want to thank Pastor Andre for being on tonight. His story was very interesting. His relationship was interesting, you know, that he had with the Lord. And my heart goes out to you for the things that occurred in your life. And a lot of people out there, I know that you've had Me Too moments also. And just to let you know that God is a healer, and you don't have to live with that by yourself all the time. You could just put that at the feet of the Lord, and he can heal you. That's what I love about Jesus, because he heals those deep emotional parts about us that have been hurt, that no one understands or can reach in and help you with. People can talk to you about it, but Jesus really can heal you in those deeply emotional parts of your life that has been destroyed by another. So give all that to the Lord and let him be the light of your life and your first lover. And thank you all for being here today and coming to hear TNT, because we love the audience. We love the people. And just put everything at the feet of the Lord, because he can heal you, and he will. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And with that, we want to say thank you, Pastor Andre. And for everybody else, we have to say goodbye. The time is gone. Bye. See you next week.
Bye-bye. God bless you.
Bless you. Thank you.